Happens in Idaho is a podcast following the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Kayla Waters, in correlation with my other podcast, True Crime Exposed. I have followed this case closely as it all came to an end here in Idaho, just 30 minutes north of where I grew up and currently live. I will be attending most days of Lori Daybell's trial at the Madison County Courthouse in Rexburg, Idaho. This is the area which the crimes took place, and this is the only location outside of Ada County that has access to the live stream of this trial. Each day, I will recap the trial for you here. Welcome to It Ends in Idaho, the Lori Daybell Trial. We're back for day 5 of witness testimony on Friday, April 14th, 2023. Court is in session by 8:33 a.m. I'm sitting in the Madison County Courthouse, and I'm anxious to see the continuation of Detective Duncan's testimony. Not only had Detective Duncan investigated the death of Charles Vallow back in July of 2019, but he was also a part of the larger investigation in January of 2020, when everyone was searching for JJ and Tylee. This is when Detective Duncan was reviewing a lot of cell phone records. Like we said on the last episode, he testified that he had looked into the cell phone of Charles Vallow. Quote, "When I'm going through those records, I'm looking for anything particular that might assist us with the case." He testifies that the Chandler Police Department was working together with Idaho with the main goal of trying to find the children, but he was keeping in the back of his mind evidence for Charles's case. At this point, the prosecution asks to admit Exhibit 49. There was an objection on this the day earlier, but now the defense has had time to review this PowerPoint presentation. First to be presented are messages and emails found on Charles Vallow's cellular phone. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he recognizes the messages in front of him, and he testifies, "I do." He testifies that an email he's looking at that was located on Charles's device was sent from the email KK Walker. And I wrote out as much of these emails and messages that I could before the presentation went to the next slide. So I will summarize up this email as best as I can. Detective Walker is asked to read it out loud. And again, this is a summary of that email, as much as I was able to get written down as Detective Duncan read through it. It reads, "Hello Chad, hope you are doing well. It's Charles Vallow from Arizona. Enjoyed having you stay with us back in November when you came to stay and talk with me about a book I was working on. I haven't finished, but I'm trying to get it done. I want to speak at various conventions, and everyone says I need a book. I'm willing to pay you well to help me get this book into shape as the ghostwriter. I enjoy the time you took to share experience without preaching. Can you come in the next couple days to help me get the book started? I feel it would be better in person than online or through FaceTime. Help me know if I have a book in me and if you would like to team up. I play minor league baseball and own a business, so I have experiences to share. I'm out of town till Sunday, but I will gladly fly you down here and you can stay with my family. I understand if you don't want to, but I would gladly make it worth your time." Detective Duncan testifies that there was actually no indication that this email, KK Walker, was tied to Charles Vallow. In fact, the phone number associated with the account came back to Lori Vallow. The verification of birthday also tied to Lori. So Charles did not write the email, but he did forward it to Adam Cox, Lori's brother, and he also discussed it with Lori via text. Now these texts are brought up on the screen. Charles discovered the email on June 29th, 2019. He then forwarded it to Adam, and after that is when he confronts Lori. As I watch the proceedings from the remote viewing room in Madison County, I notice that Lori is whispering a lot to John Thomas at this moment. Now Detective Duncan reads the text messages. First is Charles to Lori on June 29th, 2019 at 5:51 a.m. Is he the one you're having an affair with? He did not stay with us in November. Who are you lying to now? Trying to destroy another family. You're evil. I might take JJ back to Houston. The next message is also from Charles to Lori on the same morning. Just so you know, I have Tammy, Chad's wife's, email address. I will send a copy of my email. Tammy will know what you're up to. You better explain. At 6:10 a.m., Charles sends another message to Lori. I now have Tammy Daybell's cell number. An explanation of what you're up to. You have till noon to explain, or I'm sending email and text to her. At 6:55 a.m., Charles sends another message. I am sure you're up by now. You have till 10 a.m. to respond, or I send email to Tammy. By 12:23 p.m., Lori has not responded, so Charles sends her another message. Just so you and Chad know, I am going to talk to Tammy, in person if I have to. I already texted her. Your gig is up. Then Charles sends another. Stop spending money on my cards. I'd appreciate it. Next up on the prosecution's PowerPoint is the email that Charles Vallow sent Tammy Daybell. It reads, Tammy, my name is Charles Vallow. I have some vital and disturbing information regarding your husband and my wife, Lori. This is your work email, so I'll wait to send you the evidence that is very disturbing. You may call or email me from the address where you can receive information. I apologize to be the one sending this, but something has to be done. I feel it's best if I shed some light on this issue. Regards. And then he gives her his cell phone number. He goes on to say, Your husband and my wife are having an affair. Her name is Lori Vallow. I've got definitive proof if you care to see. Contact me and I can share it with you. It's devastating, I know, but the truth needs to be shown. Charles Vallow. Detective Duncan testifies that he talked with the Sugar Salem School District where Tammy Daybell worked. He asked if they could see that she read these messages. They said there was no indication she read them, but she could have deleted them right after reading. They did appear on Charles's end to have been sent. Now the prosecution's slideshow comes to an email that Charles sent Chad Daybell. Chad, I am Lori's husband, but I gather you already knew this. She sent an email supposedly written by me from KK Walker inviting you to Arizona to help ghostwrite a book I'm supposedly working on. It's preposterous. I am not paying anyone. You or Lori need to explain. And does your wife know you have several of Lori's dance videos? Explain how that is in any way appropriate. She sent them to you at your request in January. Now a string of texts between Charles and Lori is presented. On June 30th, 2019, Charles sends this to Lori. Lori, I know you don't care how I feel. Imagine this. How can my actions result in what you've done? You accused me, but it's you having an affair. How can you live with yourself, ruining our family, and Mel and Brandon's, and now the Daybells? How you continue to go to the temple shocks me. I don't want to do what I have to do, but you have to be exposed for what you really are. You won't even deny it or talk to me as to your reasons. That's what's amazing to me. Lying has become second nature to you. You have been impressive in blaming me for all that's happened. You have destroyed me. I have never been lower in my life. It's you that has done it. Please tell me. Please, I will allow you to explain. You owe me an apology. Please respect that. Charles sends another text to Lori. I'm going to Idaho first to meet with Tammy Daybell. Lori responds, She won't see you. She is my friend. She won't listen to you. Go ahead. You are ridiculous. Are you coming to JJ for the 4th or no? Charles says, Then tell me why you used my name in a fictitious email. It's a BS email about a book I am having him ghostwrite for me. It's fraud and a lie. Is there another reason for it other than to get him to Arizona and have an excuse for his wife? Again, I had nothing to do with it, and you know it. Also, he did not stay with us in November. I will find out. Now Detective Duncan testifies about messages he found on July 11th, 2019 that were sent just before the murders of Charles Vallow from Charles Vallow's cell phone to Lori's brother, Adam Cox. Charles texts Adam, "Al is here." This is in reference to Alex Cox, Lori's other brother. Adam responds, "At Lori's? Really? I wondered why he never called me back. They are planning something." Charles responds, "Absolutely." Adam says, "I was supposed to spend the night at his house last night. She probably liked that." Charles responded, "What you do is up to you." Detective Duncan testifies that because Charles Vallow had his cell phone location services on, they were able to determine he was at Lori's home in Chandler when these texts were sent. Now Lindsay Blake asks to admit State Exhibit 48. It's a jump drive containing more emails. The defense speaks up, saying that they want to note they have previously objected to this evidence being admitted. But on February 22nd, the court ruled that it could be admitted under 404B in terms of the summary. So the defense is not objecting to the evidence today, but they want it noted that they previously have. The evidence is then published to the jury via electronic PowerPoint. The first slide is an iCloud account, lori4style@icloud.com. There are four numbers under this email associated with the account. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he was able to determine who this iCloud account was linked to, and he says yes. The number that ended in 4652, he had immediately recognized as Lori Vallow's cell phone number. He had this number from his investigation into Charles's death. He testifies about messages found connected to this iCloud account. These messages were sent between Lori Vallow and Alex Cox, and they are recovered from March 9, 2019. Lori sends Alex, "Apparently it is tied to Ned being gone, ? Hopefully today or tomorrow." Alex says, "Love you too. Have fun and get rid of Ned already." Lori says, "Ned is still alive, just confirmed." Lori sends another message, "It's not Ned, and it's a new one." Detective Duncan testifies that before they even found these messages, they were informed that Charles was possibly murdered due to being a dark spirit. Through the investigation, they were able to find out that Lori did refer to Charles as the dark spirit's Ned or Garrett. On the same iCloud account, Detective Duncan was able to locate messages sent between different women and Lori on the date of Tammy's death. A friend of Lori's named Nicole sends a message to her saying, "I'm not sure if you heard, but Chad's wife died last night." Lori responds, "Oh my gosh, I did not hear that. I'm in Hawaii and it's 6 a.m. Lori sends another message and says, "Do you know what happened?" Nicole responds, "Yes, she awoke in the night coughing, threw up, collapsed, and passed away." On that same date, October 19th, 2019, but later in the day, Melanie Gibb texts Lori, "I heard what happened to Chad's wife. Oh my gosh." Lori responds, "Hello, what?" The prosecution asks if, according to these text messages, did Lori ever inform Melanie that she was already told about Tammy's passing earlier that day? And Detective Duncan testifies no. Next up are messages recovered on this iCloud account sent from Lori Vallow to Colby Ryan, her oldest son. These messages are timestamped for November 11th, 2019. Lori sends, "I text Ty to send it, but I haven't heard back yet. she will probably just do it before she tells me. Later that day, Lori sends another message. Hope you got the Venmo. Ty said she sent it late. I'll call you when I get a break. Hope you are having a great day. I love you so much. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he knows who the Ty is they're referring to, but the defense has an objection. The judge sustains this based on needing more foundation. So the prosecution rephrases their question. Based on other investigations of iCloud accounts, would you be able to determine who the Ty they're referring to is? Detective Duncan says yes, it's Tylee Ryan. Now another iCloud account is brought up onto the screen. This is also connected to Lori Vallow. It's lollytime at iCloud.com. And this account was created on July 1st, 2019. There are two phone numbers associated with it. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he was able to determine who the account holder was. And he says yes. It was tied to a different device identification than the last iCloud, but that number ending in 9562 was associated to both accounts. And this all tied back to Lori Vallow. There were also photographs, audio, and videos that determined this account was Lori Vallow's. It was through this account that Detective Duncan was able to recover more messages between Lori and Alex from July 9th, 2019. Lori sends Alex a text message, "So the plot thickens. Call me when you can." She sends another message to him, "Getting sleepy, so I'm going to need you to stay close to me the next couple days. Mel too. She can't go to Utah. They are planning some kind of intervention, but want Mel out of the way so I'm left alone. I need to come get the stuff at your house tomorrow and secure it. Lots to do. Thank you for standing by me. It's all coming to a head this week. I will be like Nephi, I am told, and so will you." Detective Duncan goes on to testify that there were several messages on Lori's physical phone that were not found on the iCloud account. And not even the message itself was on Lori's phone, but indication that a message was sent. These messages were between Chad and Lori on July 11th, 2019, the same day that Charles Vallow was killed. Some text messages that were recovered between Chad and Lori are from July 18th, 2019. Lori texts Chad, "I just got the letter from the insurance company saying that I am not the beneficiary. It's a spear through my heart. Who do you think he changed it to? Brandon or probably Kay. He left nothing for JJ." Chad says, "Wow, that's terrible. There is no way to find out?" Lori says, "I might be able to see when I get his computer on Sunday. I could check the email sent to insurance company. It will show change of beneficiary. He must have done it recently." Chad says, "It seemed you would have had to agree to the change. Maybe your name was forged. You should have a good paper trail to prove it." The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if these messages were sent 7 days after Charles was killed. He testifies yes, and that it seemed Lori did not know she was not the beneficiary until after Charles had died. More texts between Lori and Chad are found that same day. Chad sends her, "I love you. This is terrible, but it's probably another step in bringing down the Gadiantons, especially Brandon." Lori says, "Nope, he can change it anytime he wants. He's the agent and anyone can change their beneficiary anytime with their own signature. I'm thinking it must be Kay." The next message that Chad sent, I didn't quite catch because the slideshow was going by so quickly, but it was something to the effect of Charles changing it after two bullets were put in his chest. Lori sends another text message later. "So I talked to the insurance company. He changed it in March, so it was probably Ned before we got rid of him. They can't tell me who it is, of course, but it's done. I'll still get the $4,000 a month from Social Security. On July 26th, 2019, Chad sends a very odd message to Lori. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to grab every piece because, again, the slideshow was going by quickly. He said something to the effect of how that night he figured out who he feels like. He said he's the grown-up version of Harry Potter, because Harry has to live with the Dudleys in his little own space under the stairs. And Chad says that's what he's doing in his home. He's upstairs in his writing room alone. And then every few weeks, he gets to escape and have an amazing adventure with his goddess. But then he has to return. Another message is sent from Chad to Lori on July 30th, 2019. He says, I got the inspiration to go back to my original death percentages that helped us track Charles, Ned, etc. Tammy is very close. Her percentage has fallen steadily since Iplos left. It is encouraging. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he was able to determine who this Hiplos reference is. And Detective Duncan says it's the first name of an evil or dark spirit that Chad and Lori associated with Charles Vallow. A couple messages are revealed between Alex and Lori from September 3rd, 2019, the same month that the children went missing. Alex sends Lori, network name is Anti-Layman. PW is too many kids. Lori responds, funny. The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if Tylee and JJ were missing at that point, and he says, yes, they were. And the prosecution says again, on September 3rd, they were missing? And he says, I'm not sure the exact date we started looking for them. And then they ask, would it surprise you to know that they were last seen on September 11th for Tylee and September 22nd for JJ? At this point, the defense objects, but Detective Duncan is able to answer. He says he's not sure the exact date because he picked up this case later on in January of 2020. The prosecution then asks Detective Duncan if he was aware of the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreau, and he says yes, although he can't remember the exact date. He knows it was around October of 2019. And the prosecution asks, did you find searches on Lori's phone related to this attempted shooting? He says they did. They found deleted cookies looking for news stations in that area of Arizona. He's then asked if he reviewed data from an iCloud account of Charles Vallow. He says yes. They ask if he also reviewed phone data from Zulema Pastina's phone, and he says yes. At this point, the state asks to bring up Exhibit 51. These are messages that Detective Duncan located during his review of Zulema's phone and Charles's iCloud account. The defense notes again that they objected to this previously, but they understand that their objection was overruled due to 404B. They just want it noted. Now the evidence is published to the jury. They are messages from Lori to Zulema on May 29th, 2019, sent around 10 a.m. Lori says, perfect. I found out there are four. One is a level four entity. His name is Iplos. The H is silent. The other three are level three. Let's do this. Lori sends another message to Zulema on June 2nd, 2019. Yes, it does. Let's put some fire energy towards Iplos now. He is driving now, and today is the day. I can do this spiritually. Let's go get him and hover over the truck till we do it. Are you ready? The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he was able to determine who Iplos was referring to, and he testifies it was Charles Vallow. Then a message from Zulema to Lori is shown from July 2nd, 2019. She says, also, I was given instructions today to rip, tear, or burn the aura of Iplos to let the body energy out so he can't re-enter. Messages sent from Chad Daybell to Zulema from July 2nd, 2019 are presented. He says, "I'm very happy to find out these estates. You and Lolo have done amazing work. Mother Earth is so grateful to you both. Thank you for all your help with Iplos. He is so very close." Chad sends another message to Zulema on July 13th, 2019, around 10 a.m. "Hi, Zulema. Yes, I would be happy to give you a blessing, possibly this evening or tomorrow. It is crazy about Charles, but such a relief." Now they go back to that June 2nd, 2019 date, and a string of messages are shown between Lori and Zulema. Zulema says, "I'm ready." Lori says, "Let's go now." Zulema, "That is powerful. I'm still sending fire." Lori, "Yes, it is. I'm binding him with light." Zulema, "That's awesome." Lori, "I'm feeling it big time. Raphael is with us." Zulema, "I feel him." Lori, "Did he leave?" Zulema, "I can see him. I felt like I was chasing him because I saw someone running after someone." Lori, "Get him." Zulema, "Oh, I'm chasing." Lori, "You are amazing, lady. I love you." Zulema, "I'm tired now, LOL. Lori, "Me too. I'll keep the light and fire going till he's gone." Zulema, "Me too. I'm still sending." Now remember the KK Walker email address where Lori had sent a fake message to Chad Daybell from supposedly Charles Valla? Well, there is another email sent from this email account presented to the jury as evidence. It's from the email kkwalker75@yahoo.com, and it reads, "Dear Brother Daybell, it's Karen from Avow, contacting to see if you would be able to come speak to youth in Houston, Texas." The email goes on to say that this Karen could cover his expenses. She says she can't shake the feeling that he needs to come share his story. She says that they're focusing on family history work during this weekend, and it's on Saturday, April 27th, that the focus will be on the temple. This Karen says she knows Chad would energize the kids with his stories. She asks if there's any chance he could come, and she lets him know even a high councilman is set to speak, but that this high councilman would be happy to let Chad speak instead. And since they have been financially blessed, they would be happy to pay for his flight. He can also stay at their house and not be bothered. The young single adults ward would also love him to put together a fireside. Chad responds to this email, "Hello, Karen. Yes, I will be able to come. So let the wards know. I can talk to you later about arranging the flight. Chad." The prosecution asks Detective Duncan if he knows where Lori Valla was living in April of 2019, and he testifies that she was in Houston, Texas. The state has no further questions, and after John Thomas takes a moment to himself, he says that based on former objections to evidence that were overruled with 404B, they won't have any questions for Detective Duncan. So he is led off the witness stand. At this point, the prosecution and defense counsel approach the bench and a noise machine is turned on to drown out what they're talking about. Judge Boyce comes back and says that they're going to call for a morning recess because there are matters that need to be discussed outside the presence of the jury. So the jury is excused before the rest of the courtroom while the judge talks to counsel, and then following that, there will be a break for 15 to 20 minutes. As the jury is led out of the room, everyone is standing. Lori is whispering back and forth to both of her attorneys. She's really chatting it up. Now the attorneys are arguing about whether or not the state can question the next witness on an old conviction. The next witness is Zulema Pastinas, Alex Cox's widow. It sounds like the prosecution had just recently learned of this old conviction, so they hadn't indicated it to the court before the trial started, but they say they did as soon as they received the information. The prosecution also notes that Zulema has her own attorney here with her. But ultimately, the judge rules that it would be inappropriate to raise the issue of what Zulema's prior conviction would have been. He's not sure if her representation is from Idaho, and if he's not, he doesn't know if he has the license to practice here. So if the prosecution needed to have her talk with him or get advice from him, he's not sure how legal that is. Miss Smith with the prosecution stands as Zulema is her witness, and she lets Judge Boyce know that Zulema's attorney is basically just here for her aid. She has a limited immunity agreement that she signed years ago that has been disclosed, so he just wants to sit in. The judge does permit him to stay. Judge Boyce goes on to say that the state requested special accommodations for this witness, but the defense had objected. And Judge Boyce is saying that the court agrees with the defense. He lets the prosecution know that he will see how testimony is going, and if he sees then that special accommodations are needed, he will consider it then. All of that left us with a lot of questions to be discussed through the morning recess. What was Zulema's prior conviction they wanted to speak on? Following the break, Zulema Pastinas is brought in wearing a gray skirt suit. She's sworn in as a witness. She testifies that she lives in Gilbert, Arizona. She has two children, and she did know Lori Vallow Daybell. Zulema says they met in 2018, in the fall. Zulema says that their first meeting was at Melanie Gibbs' house. Melanie had invited Zulema to come and see Lori speak. The prosecution asks where Melanie Gibbs' home was at that time, and Zulema says it was in Gilbert, Arizona. She goes on to testify that she knew Melanie Gibb because they were in the same LDS church ward. As Zulema watched Lori speak at Melanie Gibbs' house on that first meeting, she said that Lori was giving a testimony, and that she said she had visitations from the angel Moroni, who had given her instructions, and that she was a personal witness of Jesus Christ. The prosecution asks Zulema, "When you say that she was giving testimony of having these visitations, what did that mean to you?" And she says, "It would mean that this person had a very high spiritual standing, someone who is very righteous." So the prosecution asks, "What does it mean to be a witness to Jesus Christ?" And Zulema says it means you had a personal conversation with Jesus Christ, and that would be the highest spiritual experience that a human being could have. She's asked if Lori said anything else to her at this first meeting, and Zulema said yes. Lori claimed there were angels putting names into a computer for her to do family work in the temple for them, and Zulema believed her. After this, the prosecution asks if Zulema and Lori continued to talk, and Zulema says yes. She was able to get Lori's phone number. The two would text a little before they took a trip to St. George to go to a conference together with some other women. The prosecution asks, between Melanie's house and the St. George trip time periods, did you have any communication with Miss Vallow? But Zulema does not answer. So the prosecution moves on. How did you set up the trip to St. George? And Zulema says, through texts and calls. Zulema testifies that the conference they attended was called Preparing the People Conference, and this is a conference that helps people prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ. She's asked, while you were in the car, you became closer and learned a lot about each other. Zulema says, right. And then she's asked, at the conference in St. George, did you meet anyone that you had already known? Zulema says yes, Chad Daybell. She testifies that she and Chad had met at another Preparing the People conference back in July of that same year, 2018. She met him there and she had purchased some of his books. She's meeting him again at this conference in St. George in October of 2018. And that is where Lori first met Chad Daybell. Zulema was present when Lori and Chad came into contact. The prosecution asks Zulema how Lori and Chad seemed to interact. She says at first they were just talking regular, and then it was Lori that was very flirtatious towards him. Lori was very giggly and putting the moves on him. At this point, I notice that Lori is a little irritated. She lets out sort of a chuckle before pouring herself some water. As the weekend went on, Lori told Zulema and the other girls that she was going to stay at Chad's table and help him sell his books. Once he was ready to go on Saturday, they helped Chad pack up his table and take the boxes to his car. Zulema, Lori, and the other ladies stayed until Sunday and then they made the drive back. The prosecution asks who was in the car, and Zulema testifies, Melanie Gibb, Lori, two other ladies, and I. Zulema testifies that during that ride back to Arizona, Lori was driving and Melanie and Zulema were in the back seat. Right here, I notice Lori lean over to her attorney, John Thomas, and whisper to him. Her other attorney, Jim Archibald, has his laptop out, and it's sort of in Lori's way. I can see her very obviously trying to lean her head around Jim's computer to have a direct view of Zulema. Zulema testifies that Lori had asked her and Melanie Gibb to look up the scriptures for a person named James. She didn't know at the time, but says she later found out that Chad Daybell told Lori they had been married in a previous life, and that Chad was James the Last, or something like that, and Lori was his wife, Elena. At this point, State Exhibits 53A, B, and C are admitted as evidence and shown to the jury. The prosecution asks Zulema if these are photographs of the same people who attended the conference, and she says yes. One of these photos also pictures the women with Chad Daybell. The prosecution then asks, after St. George on the car ride, do you remember anything else the defendant said to you on that car ride? Zulema doesn't answer, so Miss Smith says, I can't hear you. And Zulema says, I don't remember. The prosecution asks if she needs water, and she says yes. Now Miss Smith asks Zulema when the next time she saw Lori Vallow was after the conference in St. George. Zulema takes a very long pause before answering. There was another preparing of the people conference in Arizona, in the Mesa area. Zulema goes on to testify that she drove herself to this conference and inside was Chad Daybell. He had a table like he did at the previous conferences. She says at this time, Lori had been ghosting her, so she hadn't talked to Lori for a while. Lori, at this point, looks to John Thomas and she whispers something in his ear. But Zulema says even though they had not talked, Lori had approached her and was very sweet, and she invited Zulema to come to her house because she was going to have a small gathering there after the conference. Zulema goes on to testify that Lori told her she had asked Charles to go somewhere so that she could have people stay at her house during the conference. And then she's asked who stayed there at her house. Zulema says, to my knowledge, Audrey, Selena, Chad Daybell, there was an artist that was present at the conference, but I don't remember her name. The prosecution then asks, what else did she say? Zulema doesn't answer again for a long time, before saying, I don't remember. She moves on to say that she was having a hard day, and she was talking to Chad when Lori came and asked her to go. Zulema didn't want to go at first, but she says that Chad said he really wanted her to go because he wanted to give Zulema a blessing. Zulema is then asked, in your faith, what does a blessing mean? And she says a priesthood blessing is when someone who holds the priesthood holds words of comfort and prayer. They relay that message through a laying of hands onto the person receiving that blessing. So she testifies that Chad was going to give her one of these blessings if she went to Lori's home. So she ends up going. She testifies that people she had previously mentioned were there, as well as Alex Cox, Lori's brother. And then she's asked what was going on at the home. Zulema says everyone was just visiting and talking with each other, and then Lori, Chad, and Zulema went outside to the backyard, and they were talking there for a little while. The prosecution asks, "What did you talk about?" There's another very long pause before Zulema says, "I don't remember what we were talking about. I just remember she was playing basketball, and she asked Chad to play, and I felt awkward because the way I saw it, Lori was being flirtatious, and it made me feel uncomfortable. So I decided to go inside, and Chad said he was going to go inside with me as well. And Lori made a comment like, 'Why are you scared of me?' And they stayed outside a little longer. I watched Lori quickly lean over to her attorney and whisper something. Once Lori and Chad came inside, Zulema testifies that Lori took her to a separate room from where everyone else was at in the home. It's at this point that Chad says he's going to give Zulema a blessing. Zulema says that Chad indicated in this blessing that she was a special person and a special being, and that she was going to do some amazing things in the future, and that he was grateful to know her. Zulema says Chad gave her a lot of praise during this blessing. She says Lori was present, but no one else was. And this is at the meeting in Lori's home after the St. George conference. It happened just before Christmas. Zulema testifies about another time Chad came down to Arizona to be a part of Lori and Melanie's podcast. It was during this trip that Chad asks Zulema to go to lunch because he has information for her. Present at this lunch is Melanie Gibb, Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and Zulema Pastines. Zulema says that Chad is relaying to her that he really wants to speak with her about her prior lives, but he doesn't want to say it in front of Melanie Gibb. I notice that Zulema keeps taking a long time to answer. She's wiping her eyes and her nose. I'm not sure if she's possibly crying through her testimony or if her nose might be runny. Although Chad didn't want to speak on Zulema's prior lives at this lunch in front of Melanie, he did have a conversation with her about the rating system, where he could rate people light or dark. He told Zulema how light she was, and he told her that she had previous lives on this earth. When she's asked if Chad ever relayed any information about Zulema's prior lives to her, she says yes. She believed it was the second time they talked about it. And then she says, "Give me a moment, my thoughts just got jumbled." And then there's a long pause before Zulema says that Chad told her she had been Lori's daughter in a previous life. And during that time, she had been killed at an early age. By age 14, she had been raped, and then her body had been dismembered by the Lamanites, and she was killed at the same time as her mother, Lori. I could tell this portion of her testimony sort of shocked everyone in the courtroom beside me. The conversations where Chad went into detail about her prior lives were done over the phone, because remember, he hadn't wanted to relay the information while they were at lunch at Firebirds in Gilbert, Arizona. Zulema testifies that following that first lunch, Lori had been ignoring some of her texts again. And then all of a sudden, Lori invites Zulema to meet her for lunch, again at Firebirds in Gilbert, Arizona. It's during this lunch that Lori makes a diagram of how different creations are created, and how many worlds there are, and how people can either be light or dark. And Lori made a diagram of how people progress towards lightness or towards darkness. The prosecution asks if Lori said how she knew this stuff. Zulema says, "I don't believe that she said how she was finding this information. I just assumed that it was coming from Chad and that he was the one who had given me my rating, or I don't even know what to call it, the rating of light or dark." The prosecution asks Zulema who was at this second lunch, and she testifies that it was Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow. And then she's asked, "Did she put you on the light scale or the dark scale?" Zulema says she was on the light scale. Lori told Zulema she was a 1.2 on the light scale, while Lori herself was a 4 point something. And then the prosecution asks if she said anything else, and Zulema says yes. Lori said that Charles, her husband, was possessed by a dark spirit. Zulema is then asked if Lori provided her a name of that dark spirit, and she said yes, I believe she named it Garrett. So the prosecution asks, did she talk about helping Charles at all with this situation? And Zulema says that Lori expressed how different Charles was. He was acting different. He was a different person. She said he even looked like he was shorter, and that the spirit had been following him for a couple of years so that he could learn everything about Charles, and now he had possessed his body. Zulema testifies that she thinks she was hearing this about Charles around February of 2019. She thinks this because she says there was a receipt from that second lunch and she had kept it because that is where Lori had drawn the diagram and that's when the date was, February of 2019. The prosecution then asks, prior to this time, had she talked to you about any previous concerns she had with Charles or her marriage? And Zulema says, yes. At preparing the people in St. George, Lori expressed that she and Charles were having financial difficulties. Zulema says at that same conference, Lori had also said she was the beneficiary of Joseph Ryan's life insurance. She says this is one of her prior husbands, and that Lori had received $60,000. The prosecution asks, was that Tylee's dad? And Zulema says yes, before the defense objects. But Ms. Smith with the prosecution says, I'm not going there, Judge, before moving on with her questioning. The prosecution now jumps back to the lunch where Lori is talking about the light and dark situation, and when she tells Zulema that Charles was possessed with a spirit named Garrett. They ask, did she say anything else about Charles and this dark spirit? Zulema takes a long pause before saying that Lori said she didn't know at first Charles had changed and was possessed by a demon, and that she had slept with him twice, not knowing that he was possessed. The prosecution then wants to know when Lori said something about the ways to help Charles with this demon, and Zulema testifies that it was at the end of March. She said Lori wanted the girls to meet and get together because she had some things to do. So they had a meeting at Zulema's house right before general conference for the LDS Church. She's asked when the conference for the LDS Church is normally held, and she says it's the first weekend of April. Ms. Smith asks Zulema who was at her house for the meeting, and she testifies, Christina, Serena, Melanie Gibb, and I. And then the prosecution asks, was Lori Vallow there? And Zulema says yes. Now the prosecution asks what happened when people got to Zulema's home. She says that Lori wanted to teach them something, so she got out a whiteboard, and she did the same diagram that she had done back at the Firebirds restaurant, and she taught that there was multiple probations, and again, she showed the scale of people being light or dark. Zulema goes on to testify that Lori also said they needed to cast out the demon from Charles, and she asked the girls to do a casting on him. The prosecution asks, was that the first time you had ever heard of a casting? Zulema says, I had read about it in the scriptures and the New Testament when Jesus had cast out evil spirits, but in a personal way, yes, that was the first time. Zulema testifies that Lori assigned people tools or powers to use during these castings, and Zulema's tool was fire. Each person would say their part, and then Lori would finish by doing the sealing of the casting. Zulema says she's not sure how to explain this sealing, but it was a way to make it concrete or final or valid. So the prosecution asked who this first casting was done on, and Zulema says it was on Garrett, who Charles had been possessed by. And during this conversation about Charles being possessed, the prosecution asks if Lori talked about any of the troubles she had with Charles. Zulema said it was back at the lunch that she remembers Lori talking about her marriage. She said they had separated by March because of problems. Lori was talking about taking his keys away from him and how she took all his stuff away. Zulema testifies, "I asked why not just leave him. Why take all his stuff and put him through all this trouble of taking keys and cars?" At this point, I notice Lori laugh and lean to whisper to John Thomas. Zulema continues by testifying that Lori had told her she was being instructed to do this. She's asked if she believed Lori and that what they were doing had value. Zulema says yes. Lori is a very convincing, vivacious way of expressing things, very charming and believable. That's a fact that she had expressed before, that she had been visited by all these heavenly beings. So if someone is telling the truth about that, I wouldn't be questioning them. I would believe they are telling the truth, because I would never believe that someone would lie about something as sacred as that. At this point, Rachel Smith asks to admit as evidence State Exhibit 52A and 52B. She asks Zulema what they're looking at. The photos were taken at Zulema's house during some of the castings. She says that on the left is Melanie Gibb, in the middle is Serena Sharp, and on the right is herself. This is a selfie picture of the three girls smiling. Then Ms. Smith asks what they're looking at in States 52A. She says on the left is Serena, the middle is Melanie Gibb, and on the right-hand side is herself. I'm looking at this photo on the screen, and what I'm seeing is a little odd. All three women are standing back to back. They're holding their arms straight out in front of them, clasping their hands together in a handgun position. Zulema testifies that after this first casting, the conversation did come up again, and they held another casting at Zulema's house. At the end of the second casting, Zulema recalls Lori getting onto the phone with Chad to see if the casting they had done worked. Chad Daybell told Lori that it did work. But later on, Zulema testifies that they found out Chad had said even though that they did cast the demon out called Garrett, another demon that was more powerful and skilled had now come in and taken Garrett's place. Rachel Smith asks Zulema what this demon's name was, and she testifies, "I believe they called him Ned." Now Zulema is asked what Lori told her about the spirit named Ned, and she testifies that he was more skilled and he was more powerful than the one before, and now they needed to do another casting. This next casting was held at Zulema's house again, so she's asked who was there. Zulema testifies that it was still Nicole, Serena, Melanie Gibb, and Lori. She says Alex Cox was also there this time. Zulema testifies that before this casting, Lori and Chad always said Alex was a first creation, meaning it was his first time on Earth, which meant that he was less spiritually experienced or savvy. So Zulema was told they couldn't talk much about certain things in front of him because he wouldn't have known the meaning. But by this time, they had changed their rating on Alex, and now they're saying that Alex had been in prior creations, and that he had been exalted in prior creations, and was already proven in that. This was just his first time in this creation. The prosecution asks, "So in that sort of status, did it now make him a powerful spiritual being?" And she testifies, yes. When Rachel Smith asked if Alex believed that, the defense objects, and the judge sustains this objection based on speculation. So she changes up her wording, and now Ms. Smith asks, "Do you know if Alex ever expressed that he believed this?" Zulema says yes, he was excited to find out who he was. Zulema testifies that Lori was very confident this casting on Charles was going to work. Before they did the casting, Lori had told the women that they needed to fast, meaning they needed to go for a certain time period without eating. Lori said in the scriptures that when apostles had cast out evil spirits and it wasn't working, that Jesus had told them some evil spirits could only be cast out with fasting. And because they did that pre-work, Lori was confident that this evil spirit would be cast out of Charles. So she told them again it had worked. Zulema testifies that Alex was there when they're told this. Now the prosecution asks, if someone was possessed by a demon, are those people dangerous? Zulema says, they're considered to be dark and to bring bad things to happen, so yes, it would be dangerous. And now the prosecution asks, so if you know, did Alex believe this? And Zulema says, Alex believed it more than anybody else. Zulema goes on to testify that Lori said Ned had definitely been removed from Charles, but this time there was an even more powerful being that had come and possessed his body, and this time it was a being who had done the same thing for hundreds of years, an expert at doing this. The name of this demon was Iplos. And now another casting has to be done. At this time, Lori had already moved back with Charles in Texas. Kay Woodcock testified to this on the first day. Lori asked her girlfriends to be on a conference call in the early morning one day, and they would perform a casting on Charles to cast out Iplos. Zulema is asked who participated on this call, and she testifies Christina, Nicole, Melanie Gibb, Melanie Boudreau, Lori, and herself. Rachel Smith asks, did you learn at any point whether the casting to remove Iplos worked? And Zulema says no. Lori said that this one was a very powerful demon, and the reason Charles had moved to Texas was because there were doctors there that helped these kinds of people who possess other people's bodies to stay alive, and these doctors help keep the body alive and going. So she's asked, to your knowledge, was Alex aware of this situation with Charles? And Zulema testifies, yes. Now the prosecution wants to know if Lori said why she would stay with Charles while he was this demonic spirit. Zulema says she asked her, and Lori said she moved to Texas because she needed to be with Charles for a little while to get her finances straight. And she's asked, was she able to get them straight? But Zulema does not know. Now Rachel Smith asks, during this effort to cast out Iplos and deal with Charles, did there come a time that Charles passed away? And Zulema testifies, yes, on July 11th of 2019. Miss Smith wants to know how Zulema remembers that date so clearly. And she says that Lori always said she had a connection to the number 711. She mentioned this number all the time, as if she had some sort of spiritual connection to it. Zulema was told by Lori that because Charles died on 7/11, it was clearly orchestrated by God, because that was her special number. Charles, as Iplos, had been delivered to her and Alex. And the prosecution says, so when you're saying she told you what happened, are you saying she told you what she said to have happened to Charles? Zulema testifies correct, saying that Charles had rented a house in Gilbert or Chandler, Arizona for Lori and the kids. She goes on to say that Charles was coming to take JJ to school, and while he was putting JJ in the car, Lori took his phone. When he came back inside to get the phone, there was an argument. Alex was there and got involved with him in a fight. Zulema said that Alex claimed he was trying to protect his sister. Then Tylee came into the middle of this fight with a baseball bat and was telling Charles to leave, and that Charles had taken the bat away from Tylee, and Charles hit Alex in the back of the head with the bat. Charles and Alex wrestled around fighting, and at one point, Alex grabbed his gun and he shoots Charles, and that is how he died. Lori told Zulema that they called the police, and the police had come out and interrogated all of them. They said it was done in self-defense. And then the prosecution asks, after this, did she talk to you again about what was going to happen next? There's a very long pause. All you hear is silence. Before Zulema says that Lori claimed there were certain things that needed to happen before the second coming could happen, Lori said she needed to cleanse the earth of evil spirits. So every time something happened, it was another step ushering the second coming. Zulema goes on to testify that Chad Daybell had told Lori Vallow that Rexburg, Idaho was going to be a place of refuge, a place where soldiers and warriors defending the area had been prepared by the church to accommodate people to come there as a place of safety. The prosecution asks if Lori did move to Rexburg, and Zulema testifies yes. Now Judge Boyce calls for a lunch break. We stand up out of those old rickety chairs, we stretch our legs, we grab some food, and we're back in court by 12:54. Zulema testifies that Alex and Lori's children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow, moved to Rexburg, Idaho with Lori, and her and Alex did end up living in the same apartment complex. The prosecution asks how Lori was planning to finance things there. Zulema testifies, "When I asked, since she didn't have a job, she told me that she was receiving Social Security from Tylee's dad passing away. JJ was also getting Social Security for his dad dying, and she said that since she was married to Charles for over 10 years, she would receive it as well. She said she got around $6,000 a month, so she didn't have to work." And then Zulema says she did visit them in September of 2019. During this visit, Zulema stayed in Alex's apartment, and she said that Alex did have his own condo, and Lori was staying in hers. She did not see Tylee Ryan at all during this trip, and when she asked, Lori said that Tylee needed to be free. Zulema says that when she asked Lori what she meant by that, Lori lifted her hand and put it onto Zulema's face and said, "Don't ask." I see Lori lean over to John Thomas and start whispering. Now Rachel Smith asks, "Did you ask about JJ?" And Zulema says JJ was there. And she's asked, "Did Lori say how he was handling being in Rexburg?" Zulema testifies that Lori claimed they were having issues since they had moved. Rachel Smith wants to know if Lori said anything about JJ being attacked by demons. And Zulema testifies that Lori had claimed this about JJ before she had moved to Rexburg. She also said that right before Lori moved, she told Zulema that Tylee was possessed by an evil spirit named Hillary. Rachel asks how many times Lori talked about this. Zulema says 2 or 3 times. Now Zulema is asked if JJ ever had a comfort dog or a service dog. And Zulema says yes, she believes this dog was Bailey. Ms. Smith asked if Lori talked about issues she had with this dog, Bailey. And Zulema said yes. She said that the demon came into the dog in order to get to JJ because it was easier to possess a dog than it was to possess a human. And Ms. Smith asks, "So did she get rid of Bailey?" And Zulema testifies, yes. All of that was before Lori moved to Rexburg. The prosecution asks what JJ was doing when Zulema was visiting. And she says he was playing outside, he played with the neighbors, he would come inside for popsicles and then go back outside, he would come in for a snack, and Lori would bring him in at the night to go to bed. Now she's asked if Lori said how it had been caring for JJ now that Charles was gone. And Zulema testifies that Lori had hired a babysitter or a nanny to help take care of him. Rachel Smith now asks Zulema if she saw Chad Daybell at all while she was in Rexburg. And Zulema says, yes. So Ms. Smith asks, "Well, how did that happen? Because at this time, Chad's wife was still alive, right?" And Zulema testifies, correct. She says Chad had asked her to lie for him. He wanted her to send a text to Tammy saying that she was speaking at a conference and she wanted him to come watch her speak. The prosecution asks Zulema if she did that, and she testifies yes, saying that she did it so that Chad had an excuse to come to Lori's. While she was with Chad and Lori, Zulema says they were very aggressively trying to convince her to move to Rexburg. They told her it was a part of her mission, and she needed to help them build there. Zulema testifies that she told Lori there were no jobs for her in Rexburg with her experience and her past jobs. What would she do there for her finances? But she says Lori said, "Don't worry about it. Melanie has enough for all of us." This Melanie is referring to Melanie Polowski, formerly known as Melanie Boudreaux. Zulema goes on to testify that this was Lori's niece who was getting a divorce to Brandon Boudreaux, who we heard from on day one of witness testimony. And the prosecution asks, and had she received a divorce settlement for several hundred thousand dollars? Zulema says yes. And then she's asked what she said to Lori. Zulema says she told Lori that's her money, not ours. Zulema also testifies that during this trip, Chad Daybell had given her another blessing. He said that the Savior was standing right next to him as he was giving this to her. Chad said during this blessing that the Savior is telling Zulema it is time for Babylon and to move to Rexburg. The Savior was telling Zulema that all her sins were forgiven. The prosecution asks who was there, and she testifies it was Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, Alex Cox, and herself. She says that a blessing has to be given by a member of the church with the priesthood. So the prosecution asks, then why was Alex there? And she says, this night, Alex Cox had also received a blessing from Chad. Chad told him that the Savior was also standing right next to him while he is giving this blessing, and that all of Alex's sins were forgiven. Rachel Smith asks Zulema what Alex's reaction was when Lori and Chad told him all his sins were forgiven. She said that Alex started sobbing. And during this blessing for Alex and Zulema, the prosecution wants to know, did the concept of marriage ever come up? Zulema says that Chad had given her a blessing in August of 2018 at Lori's house in Arizona. It was at that time that he had told Zulema she was going to move to Rexburg and be married. In September, when she is in Rexburg for that trip, Chad returned to that in her second blessing. But she says that Chad and Lori did not talk to her about who she should marry. So she's asked, did the subject eventually come up about who they would like you to marry? And Zulema says yes. Lori and Chad were teaching that a man and a woman should always be together because they're stronger as that entity than they are as two separate people. If they are together, they can have the priesthood together. So once Alex and Zulema started dating, Lori and Chad started saying that they should be married. At this time that Zulema is visiting Rexburg in September of 2019, the prosecution wants to know if she and Alex had started dating yet. She testifies that only one day before Alex had moved to Rexburg, they had gone for a dinner date. This trip is when she came up to really get to know Alex on that level. She said he was really funny, so they were just talking and getting to know each other. She testifies that this was a short trip. She was only in Rexburg for 2 or 3 days. And Ms. Smith asks, at what point did your relationship with Alex actually become dating, or when did it take off? Zulema says that Alex came to Arizona on October 31st. It was Halloween. Lori had asked Zulema if Alex and Melanie Boudreaux could stay at her house for a few days down in Arizona. Zulema testifies that she gave Melanie her bedroom and then she stayed up most of the night with Alex Cox. that was the first night they actually held hands and shared a kiss. Zulema's next trip to see Alex Cox in Rexburg, Idaho, comes only about a week later on November 7th, 2019. It's then that Alex gives her a ring and the couple is engaged. She's asked if when she was there in November, did she see JJ? Zulema testifies JJ was not there, Lori was not there, and Chad was not there. She's asked if Tylee was, and she says no. Now she's asked if she knew where Chad and Lori were. Zulema testifies that no, at the time she did not know where they were, but later they received pictures of Chad and Lori getting married in Hawaii. Remember, Chad and Lori had been married on November 5th, 2019. Alex stays in Rexburg when Zulema leaves to go back to Arizona. She then invites him to come down and spend Thanksgiving with her and her family. Zulema testifies that neither her or Alex had contact with Chad and Lori on Thanksgiving. So she's asked, do you know if Alex was having regular communication with Chad and Lori? Zulema says that they were, but when he came down to Arizona from Rexburg, Alex had told her that they were no longer answering him. They were not texting him back, and he was very upset. He said something to Zulema like, "Can you believe they're being such jerks after how much I've done for them?" Zulema is then asked how she heard about Tammy Daybell's death, and she says that Melanie Gibb had called her. She's asked what her reaction was, and she says, "I don't know, I didn't know how she died, so I didn't really think anything of it." So Rachel Smith asks, "Prior to that, you did know Tammy was shot at by someone?" And Zulema says, "Yes." So Miss Smith asks, "Were you ever present with Lori around that time that Tammy was shot at?" And Zulema says, "Yes, they were together on that date. Lori had come down to Arizona and she had texted Zulema and asked her to come over to Melanie Boudreaux's house because Lori needed her help with something." So Zulema goes to Melanie Boudreaux's house to meet up with Lori and Melanie, and it's there that they perform a casting for Tammy Daybell. Lori had told Zulema that Tammy had been possessed by a demon and it was no longer Tammy, kind of like the same thing she had said about Charles, and she told Zulema she needed her help casting out this spirit. The prosecution asks if Zulema can recall what the demon's name was, but she says she doesn't remember. So Rachel Smith asks, does the name Viola sound right? And Zulema testifies, yes. So then she's asked, while you're doing the casting trying to get Viola out, who was there? Zulema testifies Melanie Boudreaux, Lori, and herself were doing the casting, and then Melanie got a phone call, so she stepped out while Lori and Zulema continued this casting ritual. Zulema goes on to say that Lori had received information on how they were going to perform this casting and how it would work. Lori said they would be using the Cosmos. Once this casting was complete, she said Lori was giving them a lot of praise about how awesome they were and how great it was. But then she received a phone call. Rachel Smith asks how Lori's attitude and demeanor was upon receiving this phone call. And Zulema testifies she was very angry, scary angry. So Miss Smith asks, did you hear what she said? And Zulema testifies that Lori was saying derogatory terms like idiot and moron. She was very angry with who she was on the phone with. And when she got off the phone, the prosecution wants to know what Lori said. Zulema says she heard Lori say, "He's an idiot and can't do anything right by himself." Rachel Smith asks, after Tammy died, did you talk to Lori about that situation with her and Chad? Zulema testifies that Lori and Chad said they had received instructions and visitations from angels that came and taught them how to cast out demons, and now they knew how to do it. And that's the reason that Tammy had passed away, because they finally knew how to do castings on people. Zulema goes on to say that for all this time, Chad and Lori had taught that Rexburg was going to be a place of refuge, and then all of a sudden, they said that they were going to go somewhere else. And in the few days after Tammy had died, Lori had told Zulema that Chad was going to be moving into her apartment. Zulema says she told Lori this was a little too fast, but Lori didn't say anything. Miss Smith asks, did there come a point where they came back and they visited you in Phoenix? Zulema says yes. On the way back from Hawaii, they had a layover in Phoenix and they were staying at a hotel in Gilbert, close to my house. They asked me to come see them at the hotel and then asked me to have dinner with them. And then I dropped them back off at the airport. During this interaction, Zulema says she asked Lori who was taking care of JJ while they had been in Hawaii. Lori told her that JJ was with his grandma, Kay Woodcock, and that Lori had given him to her. The prosecution asks, what day did you marry Alex Cox? And Zulema testifies December 1st, 2019. And then she's asked, did there come a point before you married Alex that you got a call from Melanie Gibb about Chad and Lori's teachings? Zulema says this call was after she married Alex. The prosecution asks, for context, what did Melanie Gibb say to you? Zulema says Melanie was very upset. She was very emotional. She said she felt that JJ and Tylee were missing, and she didn't know what had happened to them. And she felt that we had been deceived by Chad and Lori, and that they were asking her to lie for them, and she felt that they were doing something wrong. Miss Smith says, what was your reaction to that conversation? And Zulema testifies, utter confusion. I didn't know what to think or how to process that information. To hear my friend saying that all of this was happening and then at the same time knowing how much trust I had put into these people, it was very confusing and I was very distraught and confused. She's asked if she turned to Alex and asked him, and she says she did. When she's asked what he said, Zulema said he was very quiet. He wasn't himself. She asked him, how can Kay be looking for JJ when JJ is supposed to be with her? How can the person taking care of him be looking for him? Alex told her, I know. Now Rachel Smith asks, what day did Alex pass away? And Zulema testifies December 12th, 2019. So Miss Smith asks, did you receive information about anything going on in Rexburg, or actually in Utah, the day before Alex passed away? Zulema said she had a long day at work, and she came home around 7 p.m. Alex was on the phone with Chad and Lori, and they were telling him that Tammy's body was being exhumed. Remember, Tammy was exhumed out of Springfield, Utah on December 11th, 2019. Zulema testifies that she asked Alex about this conversation once he was off of the phone. She said she was confused about why they would be exhuming Tammy's body. Why would they be if she had died of natural causes? And she asked Alex if he was involved in anything that had to do with Tammy's death. At this point, I see Lori lean over and whisper to John Thomas. Zulema testifies that Alex told her no, he was not involved. She says she was pressuring him. Things were getting really weird at this time, so she said she wanted to put pressure on him for information. She asked him, what's going on? What is happening? How come they are there and we are here? We don't even know where Lori and Chad are. What is happening? Rachel Smith asks, what reaction did Alex ultimately have? And Zulema says, he was very quiet, and then he said, I think I'm being their fall guy. Miss Smith asks, what did you say? And Zulema says, I said fall guy for what? What is it that you have done? What have you done that you would be the fall guy for? Again, I was pressuring him because he was quiet and he wouldn't say, and I would walk away frustrated. And one of the times I walked away, he said, Zulema, either I am a man of God or I am not. Now the prosecution asks about a journal Zulema had mentioned earlier, and there are drawings in there that she gave to law enforcement. They ask that the witness be handed State Exhibit number 54. The defense also asks to look at the envelope and make sure they have the same evidence. Lori looks through this envelope intently with her attorney, John Thomas. Zulema now looks at the documents and the prosecution asks that State Exhibit 54 be admitted as evidence. First, we see a journal page with a drawing on it. Zulema testifies that this is a drawing of the five worlds created. At the bottom is the lowest and darkest world. Zulema testifies that if someone dies, there are two worlds where a demon can take over their body. The original spirit of that person is then just in limbo because it's waiting for the body to be put to rest. So the prosecution asks, when the person's spirit leaves and the demon spirit comes in, their spirit is just in limbo. And Zulema says yes, before being asked if Alex believed that. And she says yes. Miss Smith goes to move this first page off the podium, but Zulema says, can you put that back? So Miss Smith does, and she says, is there anything else of relevance here? Zulema testifies that above two of the circles on this page, it says Brother of Jesus. She goes on to say that in one creation, Chad Daybell had said he was the brother of Jesus. And in another creation, Chad Daybell claimed he was the Holy Ghost. It's noted that this document is 18 pages, but Rachel Smith tells Zulema she's just going to show her a few. So the next one is the rating system that Chad and Lori had created. There are a bunch of circles ranging with numbers 1, 2, 3, 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, and 6. Zulema testifies that this number scale is used the same way for light or dark. And she says after one life, you are a 1. After a second life, you are a 2. And so on. So the more lives you have lived, the higher spiritually you were. Rachel Smith asks, was Lori higher on the scale than you? And Zulema testifies, yes. The next journal page shown is a description of how the castings worked. In the middle of the page, a phrase reads, cast out, get rid of them. So the prosecution asks, once the spirit is cast out, how do you destroy the body? Zulema says, I don't know if there was a way to destroy the body or what. This would be what Lori and Chad were saying, that once a demon was cast out, another would come in. They would say that you would use water and fire and stuff to ensure that no demon could come back. Rachel Smith asks, was burning one way? Zulema says, yes. Then Rachel asks, what about dismembering? Zulema again says, yes. Rachel's last question is, what about binding the body? Was that one way? And Zulema testifies, I believe so. It seems here that the prosecution is referencing the way that Tylee and JJ's bodies were discarded. Tylee was dismembered and burned, while JJ was bound. Now the prosecution asks for State Exhibit number 8M. These have been previously admitted as evidence. They're pulled up on the screen, and Ms. Smith asks, do you recognize what these scales are if you can see them? Zulema says she does. One of them on the left-hand side of the scale is the rating of those who are upon the earth right now, and how many members of each type there would be. So then she's asked what the page in the middle of the exhibit is, the middle right. And Zulema says, I believe this is when Lori asked Chad to give her the rating for all of her family. So Rachel Smith asks, do you see a rating for her daughter, Tylee Ryan? At this point, the defense objects. They say, have you seen these before today? And Zulema says, yes. John Thomas asks, who had shown these to you? But Zulema doesn't answer for a very long time before saying, I don't remember, but I have seen them before. John says, Lori didn't show them to you, did she? And Zulema says, I don't remember. And then John asks, Chad didn't show them to you, did he? And now Zulema says, actually, Chad did have these on his computer, and he did show me at Lori's house in August of 2019. John says, at Lori's house in August, what's that date again? Zulema says, early August. And John asks if it had all the writing on it. There's pen written on these documents. Zulema says no, but it was the same document, just in computer form. So John asks if Chad Daybell explained all of this to Zulema, and she says yes. Lori is looking at John and talking to him. But then John says, okay, sorry, I guess I don't have an objection. So the prosecution asks, what was Tylee's rating? And Zulema reads, it was a 4.1 dark. And then she's asked, on that same document, under Tylee, there is a rating for Charles Vallow, correct? She says yes, he was rated a level 3 dark. Then she's asked what Melanie Boudreau's rating was. She was a 3 light. And what was Brandon Boudreau's rating? He was a 3 dark. Now the prosecution asks for State Exhibit 53 and 52 to be handed to the witness. Zulema is asked if she recognizes the photos, and she testifies that those are photos she took at Preparing the People conference in Rexburg, Idaho. And then she's asked who was there. Zulema says Chad, Serena, Melanie Gibb, and herself. She's asked if Lori was there, and she says no. Now the prosecution asks if this conference was held in 2018 or 2019. She says 2019. Now Zulema goes on to describe the photos. In 52C, she says that on the left is her, and then Audrey, and then Danae, and then Serena Sharp. Then Rachel Smith asks, you've mentioned Audrey before. Did she attend several conferences? And Zulema testifies, yes. Audrey was friends with Chad. In 52D, Zulema says they are at Chad's table. She can't remember who the person next to Chad is. And then it is Serena, Melanie, and Zulema. In 52B, she says this is another picture of the conference. In it is Melanie, Serena, Zulema, and Audrey. She doesn't remember who the other two women are on the end of each side. Now Ms. Smith says, if I may, Your Honor, I would like to show the witness State Exhibit 53B. Judge Boyce says yes. So the exhibit is handed to Zulema, and Ms. Smith asks, do you recognize that? Zulema says, yes, it's a picture of me and Serena at Preparing the People conference in Rexburg. The prosecution asks, is that a true and accurate picture of you and Serena? At this point, there is a defense objection. He says he doesn't see the relevance. It's a picture that is not relevant to Lori. The judge says that Zulema previously testified this was at a different location, but he does want to ask the state what the relevance is. Rachel Smith says that she's going to ask the witness about conversations at this Preparing the People conference. The defense jumps in and says that Zulema had also changed the location on another thing earlier, so can she provide why? Rachel Smith says, did you have conversations with Chad at the Rexburg Preparing the People conference? Zulema says, yes, and Rachel asks, was this before or after Charles' death? Zulema says, before. And then Rachel asks, what conversations did you have? Zulema says, I'm sorry, This was at Preparing the People Conference in Boise, Idaho. And Rachel says, okay, let's be clear. What exhibit are you looking at, just to clarify? Zulema says she's looking at 53B. And Rachel asks, did you have conversations with Chad Daybell here at the conference? Zulema says she did, and this was before Charles and Lori had split up around the spring of 2019. Zulema goes on to testify that she talked to Chad Daybell about how Lori was supposed to be there at the conference, but Chad said Lori was unable to make it because she canceled her trip last minute because she was thinking that Charles was going to serve her during this conference. The judge stops and asks if Ms. Smith is laying foundation. Rachel Smith apologizes, saying that she thought the court wanted her to lay this foundation. The judge asks the defense if there would be an objection still, and they say no, so she's allowed to continue. Rachel then asks Zulema, what did Chad say about Lori not being there? And Zulema says he said it would be best for her not to be there so that she could be protected from being served. And Rachel asks, how was Lori not being served divorce papers a way of protecting her? And Zulema says, I don't know. Now the prosecution moves on to additional questions. Zulema is asked how praying for someone and a casting is different. Zulema says, when we are praying for someone, we are asking for whatever that person may need or asking for a blessing for them or help and deliverance. Castings are specifically to cast out an evil spirit or demon. Rachel Smith asks Zulema if the group of people who came to her house to perform these castings were also told by Lori that they had gifts of significance. Zulema says yes, and Rachel Smith asks what was Melanie Gibbs' gift. Zulema says that Melanie's gift was to be a gatherer, and Zulema's gift was a gift of the elements, to be able to work with these elements. The prosecution asks what it means to be a gatherer, and Zulema says it means gathering people who were awake, and Rachel asks, what does that mean? Zulema says it means people who were aware of the times, aware of the things that are to come prior to the second coming. Now Ms. Smith asks what was Serena's gift, and Zulema said that Chad claimed Serena was a very powerful goddess. Zulema cannot remember what Melanie Boudreau's gift was, and she says that Alex Cox's gift was to be a warrior. Chad told him he was going to be an Avenger and that he would train other warriors that were going to move to Rexburg in the future. Zulema continues by saying Chad had told Alex that he had come only once to this earth and his sole purpose is to be Lori's protector. Rachel asks if Alex believed this, and Zulema says, absolutely. Zulema goes on to say that she talked with Alex about what happened with Charles. She testifies, I asked him if he was okay after shooting someone. Was he struggling with what happened? And he said, Zulema, he was a zombie. Then the prosecution asked if Lori ever explained to her about Charles' life insurance money. And she says yes, Charles did have a large life insurance, and Lori would talk about it. Sometimes if the castings didn't work, she did talk about other ways to deal with Charles. When they were at Zulema's house in March of 2019, she says Lori was laughing and said, well, if it doesn't work, I can always put some pills in his water or something. And then she laughed it off. At this point, Lori leans over to John Thomas and starts whispering. Again. Zulema is asked if the rules applied to Lori, and she testifies that Lori and Chad were teaching that if you had been exalted before in another life, then this time that you came to Earth, it didn't matter. Zulema testifies, she would often say, it didn't count for me. The prosecution notes that Zulema made a hand gesture when saying this. Zulema does it again. She hits her hand in front of her and brings it up quickly towards her head and repeats, it doesn't count for me. Rachel Smith asks Zulema, did you believe her? And Zulema says, I would say it counts for me. And then she's asked, did Alex believe her? And Zulema says, yes, he believed everything she said. And then Rachel Smith asks, who was it that benefited from Charles' death? Zulema testifies, Lori directly and eventually Chad. Rachel Smith asks, who benefited from Tylee's death? Zulema says, Lori directly and eventually Chad. And they end with asking, who benefited from JJ's death? Zulema testifies, Lori directly and eventually Chad. The defense has an objection, saying that they don't understand who is benefiting and how. The judge sustains this objection, and the prosecution ends with one more question about Alex. They have no further questions. Before continuing on with cross-examination by John Thomas, Judge Boyce comes back and addresses comments that were made during the trial. He says if comments are made that disturb those next to you, you'll be asked to leave. And he reminds them that they have another location in the courthouse that is a live stream. So if they want to comment or talk, they can go there. In the next episode, I will recap Zulema's cross-examination. Her testimony would last for the entire day on Friday, April 14th. And she's not done testifying by the time trial comes to a conclusion that day at 3:30 p.m. So she will have to wait 4 nights until she's back on the morning of Tuesday, April 18th, to finish her testimony. Court was not being held that Monday, April 17th. Following the recap of Zulema's cross-examination, I will get into Colby Ryan's testimony, who is brought into the courtroom following Zulema. This podcast was produced by True Crime Exposed and is hosted by me, Kayla Waters. Please leave us a 5-star written review as we are a new podcast and help spread the word.